B-Pod Studios.
We are Toucher and Rich. Andrew Callahan is the Patriots beat writer for the Boston Herald, or that website as I referred to it. I was at home, though. He joins. I bought a new mic for the house, so I will not. It's not attached to the headphones.
Okay, so you got like a regular one for the desk?
It's like $500 for everything.
The heavy breathing police all over you? Is that what it was?
Well, no. If I'm going to do it, I don't want the station saying you can't do it on the road anymore because you're breathing into the mic. So my idea is it's worth the $500.
But yep.
It was like $300 for the mic, and then it was like $150 for the thing that this thing.
Yeah, the thing, and you got the, I'm sure the pantyhose that goes in front of it.
It just has a muff.
Oh, okay.
It's just got a muff. Works. I don't even use a muff on this bad boy.
I always lose mine.
Yeah. Well, when they gave us our own muffs, is when all hell broke loose.
Mm.
You couldn't share a muff. All right. Andrew Callahan joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Andrew Callahan, hello.
Hello. Nothing like muff talk in the morning, huh?
Yeah, it's called a muff.
It was our morning show name before we started Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, it was just muff talk, and it was just scissoring and everything else. So you, Andrew Callahan, have followed this team very closely with almost through a microscopic lens. And when you see what they are doing, what does it make any rhyme nor reason to you? I can. Some people who follow the team cannot figure out what the plan is.
Yes, it does. And I wrote about this yesterday for the website and the paper, the Boston Herald. And it comes down to three things. And the number one important thing to remember is that they're basically doing business as they've done for 21 out of the 22 years Belichick has been in New England. And there are certain philosophies that go into that. You set out the first wave of free agency when all the overpays are made. You spend positionally, you know, with discipline at receiver. For example, they're not going to pay a number one guy. They always spread that out. Randy Moss never got a big deal. Brandon Cooks was on a rookie contract when they got him. And they're preserving their financial flexibility for next year while keeping their in-house guys who were, you know, first of their 8 to 10 signings.
Okay, so the plan is this year is kind of a placeholder year. And then next year they get more aggressive?
Well, I think what they're saying is, look, we spent last year, you know, worth about two free agencies in one. It was record-setting in every single sense. All of those guys are still here because they were multi-year contracts that carried bigger hits in 2022 right now where they are, which kind of squeezed some of their cap space. Of course, you could create more, but then you're kicking the can down the road to 2023, and you don't have what right now is the fifth most cap space in 2023 with $105 million. So they understood this team that they signed last year in free agency was going to be around for two seasons, and they're banking on that improvement, not only just from Mac Jones, but guys like Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor, and Jalen Mills, just from the sake of time passing and guys getting better at their positions and with their teammates.
But the one thing that is not being accounted for, though, are the pieces that they lost. If it was just that same team last year going into next year, you know, you could almost understand it, but, you know, thank goodness Trent Brown was back. That was obviously a major issue, but they still could use some offensive line help. They've got all the, with the J.C. Jackson gone, you know, what are they going to do at corner? The defense, they've wanted it to get younger. There's still some issues there. I know that Van Noy is gone. Like, what do they do to fill in those holes to at least get them to where they were last year?
Yeah, it's a good question because I was talking with someone in a front office elsewhere yesterday and just said, look, you know, what do you think of what they've done? And he said, I think it's fine. I think they're more confident than really the rest of the league is about their current roster. And the bottom line is they don't have anyone on offense or defense right now that just goes, you know, I'm scared of him. You know, that's keeping an offensive or defensive coordinator up at night for an extra few minutes. And I think the only way you're going to find someone now like that is going to be in the draft. I think they're going to address receiver on day one or day two at the very latest, fourth round and day three. But ultimately, a good question, because I've been advocating for a while a guy like Allen Robinson would kind of set your receiver depth chart back in order. Where Kendrick Bourne, he's a number two. Jacoby Myers, a two or a three. And everything makes sense. And you put a little fear into your opponents. But I think you'll see some schematic changes. We know that fullback is not going to be a big part of their offense now. Jakob Johnson said that when he went to Vegas. And I think defensively, you're going to see a lot more zone coverage because you just don't have J.C. Jackson to count on to play man-to-man.
Is this a playoff team?
Man, that's a good question. And I would tell you, I think we're going to answer that in the Herald, you know, later this week, either from myself or Karen Gregan.
Big market tease, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Can't reveal that now.
And Callahan has not put pen to paper yet, so let's not jump the gun.
I got it.
It is tough, though. I mean, it's tough when you look at just how much better the AFC has gotten.
All the quarterbacks that are in the AFC, including Matt Ryan.
But it's not just quarterbacks. It's moves all over. The Bills got better. It's like, I mean, it's an arms race.
The Bills are already better.
They're already better, but I mean, it's an arms race now. So
this ain't a scene. It's a GD arms race.
Isn't that a Fallout Boy song?
That is
I believe
a Fallout Boy song.
I think so.
Give me them. We have a lot more unknowns too, right? You know, not only just the free agency additions and the quarterbacks, but your coaching changes. I mean, you could go in the division and go, are the Patriots better than Miami? And you go, I don't really know right now. You might like the roster talent better.
Yeah.
You got a first year head coach. Never done this before, taking over a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. You go to a place like Denver. Okay, they have Russell Wilson, but their defense was in the bottom half of the league last year by DVOA. You got a first-year head coach.
That's interesting because everyone is fawning all over the Denver defense. And you're saying that DVOA, that not good defense. I don't know any. Listen, Denver was an incredibly uninteresting team for a long time, except for when they had the wide receiver play quarterback. So, but
during the COVID thing,
but the whole book on
double A baseball player,
right, exactly. Right. So that I watched that game, some of it.
Kendall,
but the whole book on Denver. You're saying this isn't the case? Is that they were stacked everywhere? They were just a quarterback away. But you're saying that might not be the case.
I think Denver's got more roster talent than the Patriots, but I think my overarching point is you could say that for a lot of teams, even when the Patriots were at their peak and they still won
Brady. Because
they had areas that were solidified, such as coaching, you know, such as we're not taking as many penalties. And look, those things are not going to overcome the Buffalo Bills, who do those same things and have a better roster talent. I just think there are a lot more unknowns that we don't know here in March, let alone in week one, because we haven't gotten to the draft. We don't know about these coaches. And, of course, injuries, which ultimately play the biggest role in any of this by the time you get in the second half of any season.
Any of the free agents that are still sitting out there, I saw that you had, you know, put the ones like a list of guys that you think the Patriots might still be interested in. And I don't even know if that was just because these are positions that they need or because you've truly heard that there is smoke there. Is there anybody that you think might be closely tied to the Patriots that is a realistic signing?
Yeah, so I heard yesterday they were kicking, you know, around some ideas of some younger linebackers, you know, who had signed elsewhere, but kind of circled back around there. So I don't think they're done at that position. I think when you look at corner, everyone in the world is waiting for them to address that position where, you know, if you have Jalen Mills come back, who's probably about a number two corner, right, you know, maybe high end three. If you get another guy like a Steven Nelson, who was with the Eagles last year, previously before that Pittsburgh, or Joe Hayden, who's in the back end of his career, but guys you just trust, they know what they're doing. If you have a couple of number twos, your secondary looks much better. So names like that, but also guys that we've reported, you know, Mark Daniels of Providence Journal had D.D. Westbrook, guy with the Jaguars. Doesn't, again, scare you, but it was a mix of guys that I think, you know, they're going to get in these kind of second week of free agency bargain bin value deals with some upside. But defensively, I think if they're going to make a splash, that'll be it. Trey Flowers coming back, make all sense of the world. And Akeem Hicks, who was last with Chicago, but broke out, you know, initially with the New England and then went to the Bears, I think is another name to watch, even if he's 32, 33. That's a guy on third down you go, okay, we need to account for.
Andrew, what did you think of the Malcolm Butler news yesterday that they brought him in and gave him a workout?
Yeah, that was really interesting. I mean, you know, my first thought was, good for Malcolm. He had already had a workout with the Texans, but also kind of made me think, like, you know, they had such a horrendous breakup. If you can imagine your personal life 4 years later, one of your exes comes back, I was like, hey, you know, let's run this back. Let's kind of get back together. And your answer is, I want to run you through a tryout. You know, what does that look like for us? We're going to go to lunch with my mom. We're going to watch a movie you don't like. And, okay, then we'll get a cup of coffee. Because, you know, at this point, Malcolm doesn't have a whole lot of leverage. He retired for a year. I don't know how that workout went specifically, but I think obviously he wants to get back into football and the Patriots have the power here. But look, they need help at corner, and I think they take it wherever they could get it.
Was he any good? Because I was asking Mike Lockhart, who watches like all these games, and I wasn't paying attention. Does he got anything left?
It's just tough because the last sample of football that we have from Malcolm Butler, you know, is at the end of the 2020 season. And I'll tell you, that year he started all 16 games. Had four interceptions, 100 different tackles, but his kind of boomer bust, high variance playing style, I think, warned the Patriots a little bit, in addition, of course, the famous exit in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. I think right now, though, if you had that player from 2020, which we have no way of knowing now 16, 18 months later, you know, he would be a starting quarterback for the Patriots right now, no question. How much has he fallen off at age 32 without playing football for a year? We just don't know.
All right. Well, Andrew Callahan, it's interesting to say the least. We will see if but the season is not won during the off season.
You can lose it, though.
Well,
you can absolutely lose this season during the off season.
Looks like there's some work to be done. But all right, Andrew Callahan, read him in the Boston Herald. He'll have his predictions out soon. We appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right. See you, Andrew.
They were 10-7 this last year. I would love to see them get back to that. I think that's the high end.
I don't know
this coming season. And he made a good point. I mean, apparently the Patriots have all of this cap space next year, and maybe that'll help.
Up to
a point.
Let's say even if there is progression at the quarterback position, receivers. Let's say some of the young guys do get better. I still don't see, with as good as the AFC has beefed up, you getting any further than you did last year.
Again, this goes back to what we were talking about, Fred, at one point, is that they absolutely have to nail this draft again. And they have to get guys who make an immediate impact again, and not just the first-round pick.
And he makes a good point.
You got to get a guy like Barmore who in the second or third round that can help you immediately. You have to have two or three more guys out of the upcoming draft help you immediately, Rich, for that to happen.
You got to root for injuries. Just other teams got to lose their quarterbacks. I mean, that's what's going to have to happen.
Well, he was talking, too, about something that I know that we've thought about is, you know, what one player on this team would keep an opposing coach up at night. And for three quarters of the season, you had one. You had Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
For three quarters of the season, you had a bona fide monster.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he fell off. Now, if he was injured, I almost hope he was
injured.
That's
what I'm hoping
was the case. You would hope.
Yes.
So you got one guy, but that's just not enough when you look around the rest of the league.
Barmore might be that guy.
Maybe.
On the defensive line. I think
that's
on offense, though, who scares you? Damian Harris? Maybe?
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know how much better he's going to get this next year.
Bourne's not a game breaker. Bourne's a nice receiver, but he's not one of those guys that's going to light you up for seven catches, 125 yards, and two touchdowns.
But you're right. That's what you have right now. You got a decent amount of nice pieces. It's not enough. You got one monster, potentially, in Judon, and you got a bunch of nice pieces. And I continue to see, didn't the Chiefs just get, I know Juju Smith-Schuster, but that's on top of the Chiefs already being the Chiefs. And then everything else that's going on in that division. And now you've got the AFC North, which is just I mean, think about that with Deshaun Watson there, Amari Cooper.
You know, what was Cincinnati's main weakness last year and they made the Super Bowl?
Offensive line,
they just added three offensive linemen.
It's crazy how, like, you know,
two people of which are very, very good.
Dismissing the Bengals, even though they went to the Super Bowl. And everyone's just dismissing the Titans. Like, the Titans aren't in the conversation. They were one of the best teams in the league.
You get a fully healthy Derrick Henry.
They were the number one seed without Derrick Henry.
And I think it's just the bad taste that people have in their mouth, you know, because of the quarterback with Ryan Tannehill there. But, I mean, dude, there's a ton of great teams.
Well, what you're talking about is, like, it's not even Tannehill doesn't have to do anything different than he's already done. Is you're talking about getting to the playoffs. You're not even talking about winning the Super Bowl. By the way, unfortunately, by the time this team is scheduled to be anything, Judon's going to be old. So,
is he 30?
He's 29. He might turn 30 this year. I don't know what his birthday is. But you're right. I mean, people discount Tennessee, and it's not like Tannehill has to, like, have a magical playoff run.
Judon's going to be 30 in August.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot of mileage. And it's just that Tannehill has to be a good, a serviceable regular season quarterback. It's
true. He's just kind of, you know what? He's got to be Matt Ryan.
Yep. And then
and that's why the Colts got a perfect quarterback.
And that's what, you know, another team that keeps you out of the playoffs. It's like one thing if you get into the playoffs and then you're like, well, Tannehill and coaching and da 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 da. But that's not the case in the regular season. So you got to hope quarterbacks get hurt. I mean, really, that's your ticket in.
Or you just got to hope this, what looks on paper like a mess of a coaching situation, turns out to be the most genius chess move in the history of Bill Belichick.
You know, because
maybe
past
he knows
years,
something we don't know. So insane that maybe it's genius.
In past years, they
you're
had
right.
Brady.
That is what you have to root for. I don't argue with you with that. I mean, at all. You have to root that for some. You've got something over everyone else.
Dude has cracked the code. That's what you have to root for.
It's really a pickle. But listen, I don't know. It's interesting. And it's interesting to hear the writers, like, the way it's all being explained. It's going to be interesting.
The Andrew Callahan's article is pretty good. It's like, how do you explain what's happening? Like how do you explain their thinking in all of this? And it's, as he said, it's they're staying the course. They've done what they've done every year except for last year. And then you're also possibly looking towards next year where they'll have $106 million. I think the fourth or fifth most in the league.
I just don't. I wonder how much different this would have been handled if your coach was 50.
I think very differently.
Yeah, I do too.
I think much differently. This owner and this head coach, we've discussed this, they're not losing. They don't want to lose. However, if the head coach is 50 and has this resume and he knows he's got the job for a long time, he can afford to take a step back and rebuild. Bill's not rebuilding.
Well, yeah, if the owner's 60 and the coach is 50,
yep,
you got a difference. This has been handled differently, which is something to think about. I mean, as a fan, that's not ideal. So, but I mean, I'm not advocating in any way firing Belichick, but, you know, it's not ideal that you're making decisions that not necessarily are the best for the organization, but are the best for the guy that's coaching it, the team. I mean, he's going to be old, dude. Old, like for real old.
Is Pete Carroll still the oldest?
Yes.
Yes, he's got Bill by a year. Right. Yes.
Even though he looks very, very young.
He does look younger than his age.
He looks very young.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. All right. Bill just always looked old. He's like me. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Cutcher and Rich. My neighbor Joe's listening. He's in Florida.
Hey, Joe.
Hi. Hey, Joe.
What do you know, Joe?
It's a Dan Roach situation. Travis Shaw, Ding Dong City. Are you following the Kanye West stuff?
So I'm not really. I see the headlines and I don't read anymore. It's interesting, but I
am following it with a. It's all. I mean, there's nothing. What else am I going to do? I mean, reading Mark Lanegan's biography, He of the Screaming Trees, and Queens of the Stone Age, which is a fantastic. People ask me because I read all the rock biographies, and most of them are not good. This is absolutely tremendous. And he goes, I played starting quarterback for my high school team. And, you know, because he's from like Western Washington. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we had this tight end who was 6'7" and incredibly athletic, but he had like, he did, you know, cement blocks for hands. And then I looked up the guy, and he's not lying. It's a guy who played in the NFL for 10 years for Denver. So I said, how's that for a little sports tie-in?
Okay.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so this Kanye West thing is, so if you are a public figure and you call out Kanye West, he responds to you. So now D.L. Hughley, you guys follow his career, right? D.L. Hughley?
I'm a massive original Kings of Comedy fan.
Well, the original Kings are here to stay.
It was mm-hmm. Steve Harvey or bust for me, but then I kind of, you know, the Bernie Mac warmed up a little bit, too.
Harvey was paying $650,000 a month in taxes because he had to pay back because he had a crooked accountant, but we'll get to that.
You know what Cedric is, in my opinion? An entertainer.
Well, he's got a show with Schmidt from New Girls, so which I've never seen. Which
is that the neighborhood?
It's the neighborhood. White people in the black neighborhood. How you doing, you silly whites? And that's, I think that's what the show is.
Like, that's the old
how you
game?
Doing, you silly white?
Yeah, like the white guy like gets caught in like the blinds, like the old joke.
But, yeah.
Like the white guy, like, I can't figure out how to barbecue. All right, so anyway, you call that barbecue, white guy? And so D.L. Hughley called out Kanye, and then Kanye came back at D.L. Hughley and like was physically kind of threatened him. And Steve Harvey said, we don't play that jazz. Mm-hmm. He said, we're from the ass. He goes, you're a sensitive guy. Like, we're ass whoopers. Well, D.L. Hughley, if you want to know how over the top this has gotten, Trinidad rapper Theo
Huxtable
jammed it on the one and then made a sweater where one sleeve was far too long. That's
jamming on the one. Jamming on the one.
How crazy is it that I had that sample ready to go?
Yes, indeed. So so the scene is Nobu in Miami, and Theophilus London is a Trinidadian rapper who has done guest work with Kanye West.
Okay.
So D.L. Hughley is dining with his family at this Nobu in Miami, and this gentleman keeps walking by the table, and D.L.'s like, what the hey? Like, I don't know what's going on. D.L. gets up to go to the bathroom. Here comes Theophilus London with his phone.
How do you spell his last name? I want to know.
Well, London's the last name.
Theophilus?
Okay, so it's Theo.
Okay.
P-H-I-L-U-S.
Oh, okay. It's like Philus, maybe? I don't know. Okay.
Theophilus?
I don't know.
Theophilus maybe. Sounds good. Yes.
Theophilus or Theophilus?
Theophilus. Yes, the great Theophilus.
So if you want to know what goes on, so this guy, London fella, goes up and tapes D.L. Hughley and says, hey, you should apologize to Kanye. And then is ushered out by security. It's a dangerous business.
Okay.
It's dangerous business when these celebrities start sparring.
The only part of all of this that I actually kind of said, oh boy, that might be overstepping the boundaries. It wasn't when, what's his name, Kanye made a video of a guy who looked like Pete Davidson.
The claymation video, which is very cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where he, like, you know, had it beheaded or something like that. To me, that's probably not cool, but that wasn't even the thing that made me kind of step back and go, maybe we went a little too far.
But if you think about the guys who are making the claymation, that's where the real fear comes into. Like the guys that have to move the clay a fraction of a centimeter
sure.
per snap.
Ah, they've dealt with Wallace and Gromit before, and they're both divas.
Yeah, exactly. So those are the guys, Gumbies.
When you've worked Gumby.
Yeah. You know. It's like the guys who did Gumby, Milk, obviously made that video. There's like two people that do claymation, probably.
Sure. But it was when Pete Davidson apparently responded to Kanye West with a picture of him in bed with Kim Kardashian. And it's like, I'm here with your ex-wife. That was the one moment I was saying, all right, man, there's a lot of ball busting. There's a lot of weird relationship stuff. That's the one that might be a little over the edge.
These are two mentally ill people, and mentally ill people. And what is glorious about all of this is that the Kardashian has, this has had to have been the ultimate plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has, on one hand, the maybe arguably the most famous musician in the world.
If I'm not mistaken, Pitbull still exists. All right, so let's hold back. So does...
Shana Na have retired.
That's right. The Jump in the Saddle Band are still making music.
There is a lot of... Dr. Demento, not a Kanye fan. But the claymation might change his mind. But the... Because it reminds him of the Fish Heads video. Which did use stop motion at one point. So, and you have Kanye on one end... raising this ruckus, and then you have Pete Davidson who branded Kim into his chest, and you have to think that Pete Davidson is like a kind of like a nerdy guy whose whole act was making fun of his looks. Then he's granted access into the hot girl club.
Yep.
Then he ends up with Kim Kardashian. He has numerous tattoos he's gotten of her. He's obviously fallen head over heels in love with him, and she is someone who manipulates it to create press by nature and by finances. And when can you imagine the fallout when that's over? I mean, this guy's got her name branded. They've been together for 8 months. I mean, this is going to be a real how do you do? I mean, there's going to be blood on her hands. I mean, this is going to be a real to do. I'm telling you, this is a train headed for a brick wall. You get these like dorks that get granted access into, like myself included, but that get all swept away in this whole thing. I mean, it's all going to end so horribly. I mean, what in a Kardashian's life is going to end well? Like, it's all going to end horribly unless you're one of them. Like, everything around them is horrible. Like, start with the porn. What's Ray J doing now? He's got nothing happening.
Chris Humphries, is he still playing?
Chris Humphries has got nothing going on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, just look at it's just this atom bomb of just like butts that just lay away everything. And it's fascinating because I know that something terrible is going to happen. Like, something terrible is going to happen. Kanye's not going to do anything. Pete Davidson, isn't going to do anything to Kanye. But just by the mere existence of Kim Kardashian and people falling into that world and being swept away in it only to be tossed aside by it.
Right. And it's such a superficial world that if you are no longer, if you're cast out, then it's almost like you go from, you know, being the top of the world to being Pauly Shore trying to beg for a gig to get on our show.
Exactly. You lose the chip on your shoulder or any kind of, like, you know, grounded reality.
Yeah.
And then when that is over, I mean, you truly believe you're in love with this person, and this person is by nature just it's a manipulation after manipulation. It is really fascinating and then you have D.L. Hughley, who can't even go to the bathroom without a guy, Trinidadian rapper, really scaring the bejeebus out of him. But at some point, I mean, holy moly, something bad's going to happen. But I'm watching it. I do find it interesting, and I often don't find these things interesting, but I do, because something terrible is going to happen, and it's going to be interesting. I'm not rooting for it to happen, but something terrible is going to happen.
I will say this about at the very beginning, someone said, have you guys forgotten Lamar Odom so quickly? That was not Kim Kardashian. That was the other Kardashian.
That was
the
one on Kim.
Things went bad. Yes, things did go bad for that.
Yeah, he was OD'd in a whorehouse. That's not the way you want to go.
That is not it. And it got really, really sick, if I'm not mistaken, too, after that. So,
but OD'ing in a whorehouse is pretty...
Yeah.
It's not... Yeah. Like, some people might go, that's the way you want to go. No, it's not.
No,
you don't want to OD in the whorehouse.
No. I'm sure those whorehouses are really classy out there in Reno or wherever it was.
And the chicks are so hot. Like, can you imagine being in that common room where they trot them out and you got to pick one?
Ben Simmons is kind of funny. Someone said Ben Simmons is another victim of that family.
Who'd he bang?
Ben Simmons was with the young one, Kendall, I think. One of the Jenners.
Really?
Oh, like the one that's with Travis Scott?
Yeah, Ben Simmons was with one of those two. And now he most likely won't play this year.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people say, oh, yeah, maybe it'll be good. No. He's not going to play.
But unless you've been with Kim, I don't think that there's like just like that whole cult of personality. But we'll see. Travis Barker's probably in for it, too, because he's truly just a nerd that like got a bunch of tattoos and got into like the hot girls club.
Travis Barker's run out of canvas on his body for tattoos.
He gets doubled over.
Does he?
He just gets tattoos on top of tattoos.
I saw a video of him like playing his drums, and I thought that he just had a really short haircut, but it's not. Where his hair should be is all tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh,
tattoos
Jesus.
Entire scalp.
Yeah, he gets tattoos on top of tattoos. But he was in maybe the nerdiest, by design, the nerdiest band of all time.
The Aquabats?
The Aquabats, I would defy you. And the Aquabats are fun. I mean, they're a fun like kids band. But the Aquabats wore like silly costumes and played ska music. And that's who Travis Barker was. He's not some tough kid. He's some dork, like marching band kid. And now he's in that Kardashian world. But he's with the one who seems level-headed. I'm getting far too into this. But anyway, all I know is this Kanye Pete Davidson thing, not by their own hands, but something terrible is going to end up happening. Something in the next like 6 months terrible is going to happen, most likely on the Davidson camp, which is a shame. He's a funny kid.
Don't they have to wait until the show comes out for them? Because isn't there going to be a new show? Isn't that all kind of the deal?
I mean, all of this is to make money. This is all.
Yeah, I thought she hadn't filmed with him yet. I was reading.
But I mean, this performance, her ability to do this, I have to hand it to her. To start from some porn with some Ray J guy. And to turn it into a guy on Saturday Night Live and the biggest rapper in the world having this conflict is really so brilliantly devious. I mean, who would have thought that OJ's best friend would have spawned someone capable of these things?
And they have the ultimate in PR to make sure that she looks great in all of it.
Yes.
Is her television show.
Yes. And also the fact that, you know, she can just put out, like, I mean, when you're dealing with a lunatic and the lunatic is saying all these things publicly, all you have to say, all you have to say is, like, please respect my privacy. And meanwhile, you're the one moving all the chess pieces.
Respect my privacy. As if she ever wanted.
But that's
any.
The beauty of it. Mm-hmm. That's why she's so brilliant. I mean, she's truly become like a devilish, brilliant manipulator of people. And it is fascinating to watch. And for all of you who go, who this is a sports station, I do apologize. But I'm telling you, if you see a train going to a wall, it is very difficult to look away. So I'm encouraging all of you to get involved in this, too. All right, Rich, what is coming up in the stack? Hopefully more about the Kardashians.
So Urban Meyer was apparently a worse a-hole than we even thought. Matt Ryan has sent the Colts Vegas stock skyrocketing. And Carl Crawford is trending right now for not sucking, but for just being really, really weird.
Who could have been? Who would have predicted he could have wasted that money he didn't earn? All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
It's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
You gotta stack it on up. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Okay, so trying to read through this. I saw Carl Crawford was trending this morning. I'm like, whoa, I haven't heard his name in a long, long time. So I started clicking on, you know, the stories, and I have to be honest, I've read probably 10 to 15 minutes worth of stuff about this Carl Crawford thing, and I still don't quite understand it. I guess that Carl Crawford started investing in this label called 1501. It's his record label, and I guess that Megan Thee Stallion made some albums on his label. So there is some sort of disagreement between Carl Crawford thinks that Megan Thee Stallion has not fulfilled her obligation of the amount of albums that she was supposed to make. She says that she has. He says, no, one of your albums doesn't have 29 minutes of original music. It's just a bunch of old stuff that you put on there. And that's when things started to get really personal. So if you go to their Instagram, the two really, really don't like each other. I'll just start with Megan Thee Stallion, who just put, Carl, I don't want to be signed to your pill popping ass.
Oh, give me Elky the Stallion. I need that.
He said, you talking about I ain't paid for a show and you sound slow. I'm the artist. I don't pay you directly. Maybe fight with the man you signed and you might see some money, you effing powder head.
Yeah, that's right.
You hiding behind Jay Prince. Okay, I don't know who Jay Prince is.
Well, he's the man that you want to hide behind.
He said, Carl, you got a whole contact with 300 and talking blank to me like I got your blanking money. You're attacking me. Why? Because you want to be famous, not rich. Ask Kevin where your money at, stupid. Okay, great. People love bringing up Rock Nation, like, hell yeah, my team is great. Am I supposed to have a bad one? And what about it, bitch? I don't know what that means. And then at one point, she starts getting super pissed and starts accusing. This is my favorite. She said, my lawyers asked him for an expense report, money that his company supposedly spent on me. Why this grown-ass man put his jewelry and chains on there? Lord, free me from this joke-ass label. So Megan Thee Stallion is in their lawyers as Carl Crawford for an expense report, and he put his own jewelry on there.
Ah.
So there you go.
Did he have her sit on anything?
I don't know that.
She's a voluptuous buttock.
And Carl Crawford just, I guess, emptied the clip and put a little tweet out that says, this all coming from a bona fide alcoholic who effed the whole industry, including her best friend.
Now, does that mean literally or figuratively?
I have no idea.
You know what? In the interest of factual accuracy, we might want to dive into that.
I think you might have to.
I think you would like to dive into that buttock, as you are a fan of grotesquely large buttock.
Someone, by the way, said Ray J is doing well for himself. What is Ray J doing?
Yes. Google what his net worth is, and that's what he's doing. It's $500 million. Ray J's... He's the greatest. He's producing everything.
Maybe he's a producer. Who knows?
Yeah, It's that simple. Yep.
That could be as easy as it goes.
Yep. It's really easy in Hollywood. You just make all that money.
Oh, well, I'm not quite sure how that all works. Well,
you know why Nick Cannon's got 75 jobs? It's not only because of kids. It's because of taxes. It's not easy to make and hold on to money, believe me. It's just knowing a guy's name isn't enough.
Didn't you guys read that Urban Meyer article?
Yes, I did.
Yes,
okay,
I did.
Beginning to end.
So I saw a bunch of little highlights that were kind of tweeted out, and then it just got so ridiculous that I said, oh, what the hell? Let's read it. All right. Just around the room.
It wasn't a long read.
It wasn't. Around the room, your favorite revelation. I'll start with mine. The fact that he had no idea who Aaron Donald was.
You took mine. That's amazing.
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald.
John and I talked about that yesterday off the air. Yeah. He didn't know who Debo Samuel was. He didn't know. But none of it was surprising. I mean, you can behave any way you want. If you're at Florida or you're at Ohio State, I mean, it just shows you, like, these institutions, and you're doing well. I mean, you can get away with anything.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
The NFL's got it all wrong. I'm going to run this like a college program where everyone's scared of me.
Well, I mean, that's...
that works every single time.
On a much friendlier way, it's when... what's his face from Florida? And then he went to coach
Spurrier.
Spurrier. When he went to the Redskins, he's like, dude, I'm not working 24 hours a day.
I know, but the thing is, at least he was honest.
Yeah, but that was nicer.
Right.
I mean, it was at a nicer scale, but he was like, yeah, everyone's going to kiss my ass. I'm not going to do any work, and then everything will be fine.
Well, the lead of the article is pretty good, is where he goes around telling all the players that if you don't perform, you're going to be fired from this team, and you won't be making any more than someone at McDonald's. As if, like, all these guys have no worth. Like, they couldn't go anywhere else.
You guys
else.
Are so effing stupid, you can't possibly do anything other than play football.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so immediately, and I guess that was within the preseason.
McDonald's paid for your college.
Yeah, they could.
They put you in a management program.
If you go to Chick-fil-A, they'll send you to Berry College for free. That's the whole thing when we're down there.
Ah! I'm sure that's not a religious school.
I'm not quite sure what the deal is with that, but it was a scholarship nonetheless. So now that Matt Ryan has been traded to the Colts, Vegas seems to like them. The pre-Matt Ryan trade odds, if you took a look, it would look like they had a plus 1,200 to win the AFC, and now they are at plus 1,000, moving up just a little bit. The Atlanta Falcons odds, the NFC winner, were plus 3,000. It dropped to plus 4,000. So it's basically telling you, no matter how good the Colts just got, the AFC is going to be an absolute just barn burner. I have no idea who's going to get out.
We had our first writer today say, and injuries are the most important thing as the season goes on.
No, there's no question.
Well, look for that. I mean, when that starts becoming the defense, well, you know, everyone could get hurt.
I saw something yesterday that, yeah, I guess it's true now, even after the Saints signing, that Tom Brady is now the longest tenured quarterback in the NFC South.
Yeah.
There you go.
Makes sense. So we shall see. Did I tell you about how the Buccaneers are making the season ticket holders have to buy tickets for next year in order to get season tickets for this year?
I mean,
it's an awful move, but it's probably a smart business move. I mean, you're being a horrible team to do that to your fans, but... You know, what are you going to do next year?
But they live in Tampa Bay. I mean, they deserve what they get.
Well, you know, maybe they'll live forever. Who's the backup for Tom Brady again?
Is it Bortles?
I think it might be still Blake Bortles.
Or Gabbert.
That guy, Trask. Oh,
yeah. Hey,
Gabbert.
Hey, Gabbert.
They also have Trask, right? They have the rookie kid,
Trask.
They
drafted Trask in the second round.
Yep.
So, very mobile, Kyle Trask.
Yep. Are you scared of the Colts now with Matt Ryan?
Scott Zolak in studio.
Yeah.
Scared of everybody.
Everyone got better.
I would not want to be a quarterback in the AFC right now as far as a conference. I mean, it's just loaded. Absolutely loaded. With all the defensive help everybody got, too. Everybody talks about the offense and the quarterbacks, but, Jesus, these teams are loaded on defense.
Well, at least the Patriots got loaded.
We're going to do a lot of this today, too.
Patriots have really beefed up the defense so far. They've done a good job.
Oh, yeah. We signed everybody back.
Yep.
It is weird when you start naming
it ain't over
the
yet.
Teams in the
it
AFC.
It ain't over yet. Let's see what he's got up his sleeve.
I know, but right now it's weird. You start writing down the teams in the AFC in order of who you think's good.
If Zolak is nervous.
Yeah. Patriots are coming in around number 11 when you start like listing all of them.
Blue and red every day. If Zolak is nervous, we have a problem. Well, let me see where I would put them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, I put in 12.
Yeah, it's about 11. I think I did it and it was 11.
Yeah, you probably gave them Pittsburgh. I didn't.
How far did they expand the playoffs?
They're better than Pittsburgh.
How many teams get in now?
7.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think they're about the same as. I think Pittsburgh's better defensively. That's gonna. But the Patriots are in a. Yes, feces fairy. Hello. The AFC East is a lot easier. All right. Well, hopefully you're not met at the door today with someone who is covered in.
Yeah, and the rap is with urination and doo-doos all over.
Yeah, and don't have anyone from the three sector come out. There's nothing but frozen cucumbers.
If any people are looking for lost mail or packages, I know where they are.
And then you hang up. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone enjoy the poo-poo and doo-doo and pee-pee. Bye.
Guess how many beeps he required to, or she required to back up 100 feet, a tiny little truck. Just take a wild guess at how many beeps.
I'm unsure.
171 to back up 100 feet, a small little truck like that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.